May the words of my lips and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. You may be seated. It's wonderful to be back here at St. Mark's once again. I miss you folks. It's so good to see so many of you. If you're new to this congregation, my name is Mary D'Alessandro. I was lucky enough to do an internship here a few years ago, and now I'm chaplain at the women's jail in Chicopee. This morning is, before I go on, I'd like to just not introduce individually, but I am lucky enough, fortunate enough to have some of the women who are residents at the Chicopee facility join me today, and they will be part of a question and answer period after the service. So thank you. Today is also a really special day as we witness and participate in the commissioning of the mission trip as they prepare to leave for the Rosebud Indian Reservation in South Dakota for 10 days starting tomorrow, I just learned. Bright and early tomorrow, 5:45 gathering time. So 4:45? Oh, I missed. I'll be thinking of you. The mission team, which consists of 12 people, interestingly enough, think 12 apostles, that have met 10 times over the past 18 months in preparation and prayer for this mission. Our act of commissioning this morning is important. Jesus commissions his disciples, and in all accounts, the commission begins with the word, go, or I am sending you. And the point is that you are being sent with the heartfelt intentions of the entire community. You are not going with your own individual messages, your own individual intentions, but you're going with the message of our faith. Or as Bishop Curry reminds us, he says, Jesus says, follow me. Follow me and love will show you how to become more than you ever dreamed you could be. Follow me and I will help you change the world from the nightmare it often is into the dream that God intends. Jesus came and started a movement, and we are the Episcopal branch of that Jesus movement. And you, missionaries, are being commissioned as part of that Jesus movement. But today's gospel shows a more difficult side of being a follower of Jesus. Jesus does not sugarcoat what it means to be a disciple. Jesus three times says, follow me. The first man replies, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus says famously, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. So are you still down for going with me? The second replies, first let me go bury my father, a sacred obligation in those days, as it is today. And Jesus says something quite harsh. Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Do you still want to follow Jesus? And the third replies, I will follow you, but let me go say goodbye to my family. Which doesn't seem to me to be a unreasonable request, to which Jesus says, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit to serve in the kingdom of God. So do you still want to join the trip? Jesus lays out these radical demands of discipleship, nothing less than radical. You may remember a book by Dietrich Bonhoeffer entitled The Cost of Discipleship. It was first published in 1937 with the rise of the Nazi regime, and it was against this backdrop that he wrote this book, and he developed his theology of costly discipleship, which ultimately led to his own death. One of the most quoted parts in the book deals with the distinction which Bonhoeffer makes between cheap and costly grace. He says, cheap grace is the preaching of forgiveness without requiring repentance. Baptism without discipline, communion without confession. Cheap grace is grace without discipleship, grace without the cross. This reminds me of the words in our Eucharistic prayer, see, that always stop me in my tracks. Deliver us from the presumption of coming to this table for solace only and not for strength, for pardon only and not for renewal. We don't just come here for comfort, but we come for strength We don't come only to be pardoned, but to be renewed in the call to be followers. Cheap grace, Bonhoeffer says, is to hear the gospel preached as follows. Of course you've sinned, but now everything is forgiven, so you can stay as you are and enjoy the consolations of being forgiven. The problem with this is that there's no demand for discipleship. In contrast to cheap grace, costly grace confronts us to follow Jesus, to be a disciple. It's costly because it compels us to submit to the yoke of Christ and to follow him. Christ says, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." But he never says there's no yoke and there's no burden. St. Mark's is a community that I believe understands costly grace. You don't simply come together on a Sunday morning for that mutual warm, fuzzy moment of feeling good about yourselves. No, St. Mark's gets that discipleship means pushing yourselves beyond what is comfortable, seeking out the needs of the world and finding ways to share the good news. Today we have but two examples, the blessings of the backpacks and your invitation to women who, honestly, don't get many invitations like this. But you have invited them to share in your sacred time. And this morning, we have the commissioning of the mission team to go way beyond their comfort zone and to share in the life of people far away and very different from themselves. But there's also so many ways that you seek to serve and fulfill the dream God intends that Bishop Kari talks about. You welcome Bhutanese worshipers here every week. When I first read about it, I thought you did it once, and I thought that was great. I didn't realize you did it every week. You welcome worshipers who have no place else to go from half a world away. You say to them, "Come here, be our friends." No, you are welcome. Their pastor said, "We basically got expelled out of our country. We came to Nepal and lived in exile for 8 years, and some of the people are still in camps there. And we got brought here through the International Organization for Migration." So these two congregations come together not only to bless their garden, but to share American and Nepali food. Talk about breaking bread and breaking barriers. But besides that, you have the Big Blue Ministry, where you visit and tend to homeless folks in Springfield. You participate in Church Without Walls every month in Court Square, where you also bring food. You've already participated in mission trips to New Orleans in Ghana. You care for your youngsters and you extend yourselves by way of Vacation Bible School. And I know I'm missing a whole host of other things you do. These are all ways you get outside yourselves. You follow the command of Jesus to go. You know that grace is not cheap, but costly. Some of the women who have joined us this morning from Chicopee know of a program that goes by the name Community Accountability Board. CAB. CAB is another example of costly grace. The board is made up of community members who have either been possibly the victims of a crime or somehow affected by a crime. So the women from the jail have to stand before this board and listen in detail sometimes as to how their type of offense really affected the victim or often the victim's family. It's not an easy process. And the point is not to crush someone's spirit, but to let someone know that their actions had tremendous consequences. It's part of what's called restorative justice. It's not easy. It's costly. Sometimes the act of discipleship is not rewarding or satisfying. Let me just give you one example. When I worked in the Catholic Church in religious education, one of my jobs was to take teenagers who were preparing for confirmation out for service projects. And this was in Amherst, and so some of our families came from Hadley. You may know that many of the families from Hadley are of Polish descent. One of our girls in our group was of Polish descent. So we went to a nursing home to do some kind of a project. And during our little activity, one of the old women there, residents, made a really derogatory remark about Polish people. The girl looked shocked, but she didn't say anything. When we went back to the church to debrief, I asked her, I said, "Do you wish you picked another service project?" And she said, she thought about it. And she said, "No, not really. Service," she said, "shouldn't be about making yourself feel good." She showed wisdom beyond her years, and she was an example of discipleship to the other students. and to myself. Discipleship can be rewarding and fulfilling, and there's nothing wrong with that. But it can be challenging, unappreciated, misinterpreted, and downright rejected. The conditions of discipleship set by Jesus may seem daunting indeed, but Paul reminds us in his letter to the Galatians that it's not a yoke of slavery we take up, but a freeing power to live by the Spirit. He says, "For freedom, Christ has set us free." Let me just say that again. For freedom, Christ has set us free. What does that really mean? Does it mean that I really don't have to worry about those human standards or judgments anymore? I think it does. Does it mean that I don't have to worry about what it means to be successful in the eyes of the world? Yes, I think it does. Does it mean that you can go to South Dakota and know that the message you bring of love and of hope means that you are already successful? I think it does. And does it mean that you can live behind bars for months or years and still be freer than many on the outside? I think it does. A nun I worked with years ago gave me the best advice I've ever been given in ministry, and I may have said this before because it means so much to me. When I was discouraged about something, maybe the number of people who showed up for something or the number of people who didn't show up for something, and I thought it was not successful and I was complaining, she looked me in the eye, as only a nun can, and said, "Mary, success is the Lord's. Fidelity is our only reward. So the only thing I have to attempt to do is to be faithful. I only have to give away what Jesus has given me. And I have to remember I can't give what I don't have. So what ought to be unique about a Christian is that he or she has Jesus to give. And so if what I'm giving away doesn't come from me, Mary D'Alessandro, then giving it can never diminish me. People often ask if I find my work as a chaplain draining or depressing. And honestly, I don't find it draining or depressing. To tell you the truth, I find it incredibly inspiring and humbling to witness almost daily the strength and resilience of very powerful women. But if I ever feel depleted by responding to the needs of others, I need to ask myself, am I trying to give them something else other than Jesus? Because if I'm tapping into Mary, there's not much there. But if I'm relying on the presence and power of the Holy Spirit to guide me, to lead me, to fill me, I'm all right. I'm free. So mission team sprinkled all over here, know that your only job is to be faithful to your call to discipleship. And you will begin to change the world from the nightmare it often is into the dream that God intends.